The historic Plaza Theater is Atlanta's only independent movie theater. And every year, it's the site of films, festivals, special events, and of course, screenings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The theater just announced a new owner, Chris Escobar. He's the director of the Atlanta Film Society, which runs the Atlanta Film Festival. We have Chris here to tell us about what this purchase means. Chris, welcome back to City Lights.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
The Plaza Theater was founded in 1939. Would you tell us a bit more of its history?
Yeah. It founded, you know, and I always try and think of the picture of, you know, this is on the brink of World War II, you know, and just kind of what's happening globally. But it was an art deco theater started that was a combination of cinema with the occasional live theater. So it actually has a full fly space behind the screen and backstage. And this is about 10 years after the Majestic had been built. So the whole property had kind of been done in phases. And there's really actually, for me personally, I've been over time building kind of the history. There's really not nearly that much available in what kind of programming the Plaza played and audiences or even photographs in the sort of the 50s, 60s, early 70s era. The irony is what you really start to see more history on is when, for a brief time, the Plaza was an adult theater in the 70s as the kind of decline of that area started. And then where you start to be able to kind of really fill out more of the picture is when George LaFont bought the theater in the early 80s and converted the upstairs balcony into a second auditorium and then really started bringing kind of the LaFont signature programming in terms of independent films and foreign films and really kind of put the Plaza on the map for kind of greater Atlanta through programming and as a part of the picture of his larger theater chain.
Why is the Plaza Atlanta's only independent theater?
Well, we have a number of great facilities in cinema, but they're all owned by major national corporations. They're either owned by Regal Cinemas, which is like Atlantic Station, Hollywood 85. They're owned by AMC, which owns a theater at Phipps and Cumberland, or even the Terra Theater is owned by Regal, or Landmark Theaters, which is another major chain that bought the Midtown Cinema. And that's actually part of why LaFont had to sell the theater in the early 2000s is because it shut the Plaza out of being able to access a lot of the kind of programming that he had built the reputation on. And so the theater was not performing as well, and then he sold it to the previous owners, Johnny and Gail Ray, who were a lovely couple that had no dreams of owning a theater or a theater empire. They just couldn't stand to not do anything, and so they had actually taken a mortgage out on their house to be able to buy the theater and keep the doors open. And what they brought to the table was really they didn't have the capital to do any major upgrades or anything like that, but they were able to bring a lot of the community programming in, and they held it for a number of years, and even formed a nonprofit, the Plaza Theater Foundation, to keep the doors open. But they were struggling, and more so, that struggle was exacerbated by technology upgrades from the industry, where it was pushing out the availability of 35 millimeter film offerings, and so they had less and less to be able to offer, and didn't even have the capacity to show something on Blu-ray or digital computer. And so, in 2012, the Film Society got involved and helped them with that theater. We brought in our HD projectors, we helped them manage the theater, help move tickets. But our capacity of bringing change was even still limited. And so we were sort of, the Plaza was lucky enough that Michael Ferlinger and his partner John came along, and he was one of the first people to came along that had both the interest of making it the Plaza, but kind of taking that to the next level and possessed the experience and the capital to do what was necessary. And so the Plaza, and really by an extent Atlanta, has been very lucky that there have been these key people in the Plaza's history that have kind of wanted what was best for the theater and saw the potential in the theater and brought these components. And that's kind of one of the things in the future that I hope to sort of build on, the integrity of the programming choices that LaFont made, the kind of openness to the community that the Rays made, and then the business practices and the commitment to making the necessary reinvestments in the theater that Michael made.
What are some of the challenges for the upkeep of an old theater?
Yeah, I mean, there are several. For one, I mean, aside from the challenges that any independently, locally owned business that doesn't have the means of a major corporation, I mean, owning, running a business that's, you know, going on 80 years old when you want to keep the integrity and what's special of that upkeep an 80-year-old marquee, and there's not a lot of fixtures left that are actually original in the interior, but upkeeping those and not making the choices that are just simpler and cheaper, but ones that kind of maintain that integrity, sometimes that's a challenge. And that's part of where the sort of third leg of what's been an important partnership of the three, over the last few years comes in, which is that foundation, that Plaza Theater Foundation that Johnny and Gail founded. And so the primary thing that the foundation does is improvement projects and then helping underwrite the cost of community groups to be able to use the Plaza Theater without impacting the viability of the theater itself. And it does that mostly through holding the first ever liquor, beer, and wine license that the Plaza has in over 75 years.
Well, to your point about community, like so much around Atlanta, the area surrounding the Plaza Theater on Ponce has seen a lot of development. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, some of the buildings nearby were bought.
Yeah.
So the public was scared that perhaps the plaza would be torn down. Is that an ongoing fear for the theater?
It has been, and I'm glad the community has shared my sentiments, although I've been pretty kind of close to it enough to know where there is and where there should be and shouldn't be a concern. The plaza has seen lots of change. Like I said, it went from an adult theater because of the decline of that area to all sorts of things over the years. What has recently happened, and to kind of sort it all out, is the Griffith family and business on behalf of the Griffith family has owned that property for the last 85 years. That's what was bought earlier this year by a company called Asana Partners. Now, they just own the property and the buildings, but all the businesses are individually owned. And so what I'm buying is the business of the Plaza Theater and the equipment and everything inside of it. And so the reason why there shouldn't be a concern is two things. One, that property is about to get a landmark designation. It's gone through most of that process. It was started earlier this year. We're expecting it to be on Mayor Reed's desk in October and that he'll sign that. And so regardless of who owns or operates or whatever, that property as a whole, which includes from San Francisco to Majestic, all of that whole sector is going to be protected under a landmark designation. Two, the company that bought it, Asana Partners, they are completely supportive of that effort. In fact, they really only invest in historically relevant retail property in walkable areas, and they look at places that kind of need a little bit more TLC and investment, and not just from a physical side, but thinking about creating a full experience on the whole property. And what they've shared publicly, you know, really speaks to that. What their other properties are throughout the country, mostly in the South, really speaks to that. And then lastly, I have the advantage of age. And so I have the intention of owning and running that theater for the next 40 years and passing it on to my kids.
We live in an age when people get their entertainment, their news, almost everything they want on demand during a time when streaming is so readily available and there's wonderful HD quality people can view on their televisions at home. Why buy a theater?
That's a great question. You know, if I would not get into the theater business if we were talking about a regular traditional kind of multiplex. Overall, the trend for regular ticket sales is going down 12% just year over year. Where the exception is in the experience and in what an independent and locally owned business has the flexibility and the connection to the community to offer. And so that's different in art houses. So the plaza is an art house. It's different with historic venues, of which it's a historic venue, and it's different with independently owned theaters. So it's all three of those. And then now it's going from having the distinction as being the only LGBT-owned cinema in the city to now the only minority-owned cinema in the city. So it has a number of distinctions, and it's sort of simultaneously what creates challenges for it, also give it the flexibility and the nimbleness to kind of really serve the audience. And as we get more and more in our living rooms and on our phones, and there's been all kinds of talk about how we feel more and more disconnected, the experience of a community event, of a shared event, and of something that is not downloadable and something that is rare and is timely becomes more and more treasured. And so that's where the opportunity is for art houses, for historic theaters, for independently owned theaters. That's why I see the positive vision and the team that I'm putting together to own and run the Plaza Theater is in not just having some great first run films. So you better believe we're going to be trying as hard as we can to get some of of the really good cinema that comes out. Not necessarily everything that's in theaters that's more strictly entertainment, but everything that's really thought-provoking films that are really exciting and that are really worth seeing on the big screen. But then we're going to also continue to have some of the cult favorites, like, of course, the Rocky Horror and The Room. But then, you know, what's really important is having those special community events where there's a live factor. You know, Rocky has always had that. You know, Cineprov and some of these other things that happen where it's not just about what's on screen, but about what's in the room. And then when you add to that who's in the room, and there's both friends and soon-to-be friends in the room, and you have this shared communal experience. And then you add to that, of course, you know, classics and repertory films, and you add the possibility of seeing that on a variety of formats. And so the Plaza has, in my opinion, a responsibility to also have a place of those classic formats as well, and do it in a way where you can show rare film prints. And that is, for me, a top priority, and I'm hopeful to be able to announce some exciting things in that regard. But the idea is to have something for everyone on the classics, on the currents, on the rare finds, all of that. You know, so there's a lot that can be done physically. There's a lot that can be done programmatically. There's a lot that can be done, again, to both protect what we all love about the Plaza, enhance that, and then make that more of a consistent experience, but then also make sure that there's something there for everyone.
Obviously, making movies and watching movies are different, but do you think Atlanta theaters could be rejuvenated with the increasing presence of film industry here? Could the film industry help a place like the Plaza?
Absolutely, and you're tempting me to speak to some things that are still in the works that I hope to announce down the road, but particularly for films that are shot in Georgia, I think there's a place for them to be at the Plaza, most especially. You know, the Plaza has also respectfully and secretly been host to a number of folks who are filming. You know, we've had Clint Eastwood and Tom Hanks in there a few times. Sometimes we know about it, sometimes we don't know when, you know, for instance, for the Game of Thrones fans, I was in there one time and Aiden, I'm forgetting his last name, who plays Littlefinger on Game of Thrones, just popped in to watch a movie, and I was like, holy cow. So, and you can usually control my fanboy factor, but when you're a huge fan of something like that, it's hard to. But yeah, from an attendance standpoint, I think there's a real opportunity, just going, right? Even if that's a total surprise. But there's a lot that the industry can do to support the Plaza and to make sure that our homegrown film, and that really is being the only independent cinema and the only locally owned cinema, it is the only, you know, in the city of Atlanta, obviously. And so there's a real both opportunity and in my mind an obligation and responsibility to support that and to support the place where there are one of the few places that independent filmmakers can have their work shown. They're not going to be doing that typically at a Regal or an AMC. And one of the places where the next generation of filmmakers can go to be inspired and to really have access to great programming and an ability to show it.
Chris Escobar is the director of the Atlanta Film Society and the soon-to-be owner of the Plaza Theater. Congratulations, Chris. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.